This is the beginning Greek class for the Baptist Bible Seminary and Institute, second year Greek, actually. And the date is September the 23rd, 1982. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 30, and Dane-Nematic Grammar, pages 59 through 68, which would be paragraph 72 through 82. The Manual Grammar of the Greek New Testament is the text by Dane-Nematic, and the Gospel of John translation of that in the Trinitarian Bible Society's New Testament, Greek New Testament, is also our text. The teacher, Dr. D.A. Waite, Director, Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey, which sponsors the Baptist Bible Seminary and Baptist Bible Institute, which is the one that's taking the course. It's a two-semester hour course, fall semester. We're beginning now, 15 weeks, and then the final exam on week number 16. And this is a 2-credit hours, and it starts at 8 o'clock, and it ends at 9:40 p.m. This is Thursday evening, September 23rd. We open our class tonight. Dear Lord, we thank Thee for the power of Thy Holy Spirit. We thank Thee for Thy Holy Word that Thou hast given to us in this Greek language and in the Hebrew as well. We ask for Thy guidance and direction now in this beginning class of our second year Greek as we translate the Gospel of John and as we study these principles of exegesis and interpretation. Bless each one who is here tonight and give us guidance and direction from Thee, and Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. All right. I think, you see, all of you, most of you did get one of the assignment sheets there. I guess, did you get one all right, Bill, in the mail, and Ralph, I guess, got one. Glenn, let me share that with you. So
thank you.
See
you.
What we're about there.
Good.
And what we're going to do, the Lord willing, is to cover the whole Gospel of John and the whole two semesters. Taking just up through chapter 9 in the first semester, then finishing it off in the second semester. And you notice that, Ralph, I got you. We got that. So that will wind this up all right. And of course, Dana and Maddie will start with pages 59 and go up to 180 for the first semester, and then we'll take 181 to the end of it, 303 for the second. That puts us about 8 pages a day, Dana and Maddie, which is not too bad. And that will be the, well, that's pace in which we go. We'll probably divide it maybe the first 15-minute section in the translating, and then the next 50, and Dana and Maddie will go back and forth. I don't know how our time will go. And I apologize, we're starting a little bit later tonight, 15 minutes off pace. Maybe we'll have to make up for it either by doing work fast or holding a little bit later, whatever. See, we'll see how it works out. All right, let's take Glenn called the other night and just asked about it, and I said, well, come on over and try us out, take a look at us, and see what we do, and love to have him come. You heard about the announcement on WKDN, so I don't know whether anybody else heard it. Did anybody hear that at all? I guess Ruth heard it, and I heard it, I think, by the telephone. My wife was talking on the phone, and I called her, and she said, here, listen. There was, but I just didn't listen. You didn't have it here, did you, on WKDN?
No.
About the Greek class.
Did you have it on several times?
Was
it announced several
times? I think
times?
So, Carl. You heard it once, did you?
I just heard it once, and I tried to pick it up another time,
yeah,
but I didn't happen to hear it again.
No, well, it was on several days and several times, but who knows how many times. So I'm glad that you're able to sit with it. All right, let's take a look at John chapter 1. Let's move right along. And
What is the text you are
reading? Oh, yes, listen, Ruth, let's see, Bonnie would be able to get one of these 471s, but it's just Bible Society. It's a nice, clean copy and text.
May I share with you?
Yeah, we got it down in the basement, too. Really? Check 471, Ralph, and just in case. We may be off, though, as Ruth said. But in case we're not, we'll get one, see?
All righty.
Good. All right, well, go ahead now. I have translated on, read, rather, on the Greek language the whole first 9 or 10 chapters. The blind man, see, Mr. George Artson is going to be with us, and he didn't think that he's blind, he'd be in flesh, but he wants the tapes of them.
Mm-hmm.
I translated this English and then Greek. I read the Greek and then translated the English, or the English to the King James Version. But I just had the Greek the other night, and I thought as we translate, we'll just go ahead and play the portion we're going to translate. See, that might be just for the tape, and beyond that, they won't have to even think. We'll just listen to it. See, now, you, of course, will be reading yourselves too along the way, but well, let's just see how it works out.
The Gospel according to John. John, chapter 1. John, 1:1. NRK, Aim Hologos. That's
it. Okay. Go right ahead there, Bill. Why don't you take that verse there?
Okay. Just want to translate it.
Go ahead. We almost have to just translate the high spots because, well, 30 verses, you know, we can't take too much, but we will pause here and there and illustrate it. So.
Okay. In the beginning, was the word amplified a little bit?
All right.
And
then, you know, it works like imperfect and imperfect, actually, yeah, right?
And the word,
and again, with imperfect event, right?
Was?
Mm-hmm. Trump something on. With God, near God, okay, close to God, right? Right. Mm-hmm.
And God was the Word.
All right. And God was the Word. The Word was God.
This was, or he was in.
This one, or he was. And our faith.
In the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Prostantheon. Again, near God or with God.
Okay, with God.
Okay, I think that's good. Any questions on one before moving on to two? I just want to watch our time, but we will get our feet on the ground here after a while. All right, we can sight read this. I mean, we don't have to prepare it the first week anyhow, but I want to cover it if I can. See, move along. Ruth, you want to take number two?
Let me go on. 1-2. Putos, aim, and arche, cross, on.
Is that it?
That was just what Bill did. Mm-hmm.
Oh boy. He took the second verse.
Oh,
you take it again.
Want
to take three since he took one and two? Mm-hmm. I tried three, all right?
John 1:3. Pantas yautu agenatop. Kachonis autu agenatop uden hen. Hoff gegonen.
Okay. Let's try that then.
All through him.
Yeah, all right. This is all. That would be singular or plural on that root. That's true. That's good for all.
Cool.
Panta, that's right. What to be masculine and okay. Neuter. All right, be neuter. It'll be probably the thing. All things, all right, all for everything, all things, okay. Through him, go ahead.
Him became.
Mm-hmm. Became. Came into being.
And with all him nothing became.
Mm-hmm.
One, is that one?
Yeah, Uda Hansi. Not even one thing. Uda Hansi hates me in hand, and hand is a neuter. So one. Not even one thing.
Is that the, is this the perfect has been made?
Yes, right, that's right.
Not even one thing has been made.
That's right.
Okay.
All right, so let's see. But on him, not even one thing which came into being has come into being. Not even one thing.
No.
The what is
made, that was
which,
what came to being.
Yeah, that which was made. That which has been made, not even one thing came into being without him. See, without him, there was nothing, not even one thing which was made. Mm-hmm. See, that's it. It's not even one thing which Gegonen, which has come into being, mm-hmm. Agenotop, was brought into being, or did come into being, or became.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's good. That's three. Any questions on three there? All right, let's hear four.
John, 1-4. And I'll tell Zoe aim. Kai he Zoe aim topo. Ton anthropo.
Is that it? I guess that's that version.
Yeah.
All right, Glenn, you want to try that one there?
In
something him. Else. We got them in order, Glenn.
Okay.
They're not quite in.
All righty. In him, there was life. And the life was.
A phos, which would be the light.
Okay.
Phos, phosphorus.
The life was the light of men.
Mm-hmm. Good. All right, any questions on, what would that be? That would be?
I think it was four.
That was four. Four was sure, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go for five. We'll give Ralph a hand.
John, 1-5. Kaito phos, enter kotia, finish.
All right, Ralph, you want to try that five there for us?
All right. Kai topos ente skutia That's all right. That's good. Yeah. Actually, we ought to get down. The only reason we're limited, I think, is we're 15 minutes low as far as. But I want you to read, too. We want to catch up on our reading.
Okay.
I just, go ahead, Ed, Ralph.
Okay. And the light in the...
Let's see. That's the shadows of the darkness.
And light.
In the darkness. Finally. From final to shine, to show forth. Final. Finally.
Shine. And the darkness, the...
would be shines. See, the light shines in the darkness. The light was his shining in the darkness. It could be a historical presence, which he was shining, but literally is shining in the darkness. He's got you.
And the darkness?
Mm-hmm. Up top. That's your accusative. Neuter to go with the horse.
It?
Yes, that's right. Who cut Elaben? Lambano is to take or to receive. Kata did not take it down or.
Understood.
No. That's right. Take it down and receive it and so on like that. Did not receive it. Altar is going back to the horse, you see. Cut the horse is neuter and Altar is there. Okay? Any questions on five then? All right, let's go for six.
John 1:6. Egelatov, Anthropos, Apestamenos, Parathau, Onoma Auto, Ioannes.
All right. You ready to whoever's up there?
He became man.
All right. If he became man, you'd have to have Anthropos in the accusative, wouldn't you, Bill? See? So this is in the nominative, therefore you have to, instead of Anthropon, see, it has to be what? That he became man, it has to be a man, he became, see, right? Subject. So,
okay.
A man, again, it's all, came into being, or there was, I think it's a very good circumlocution that the King James got on, there was a man, see. There came into being a man. There existed a man, see, like that. Okay, go ahead. Now, see, if we say there was a man, see, then you'd have the nominative, which after the verb to be. There was a man, see, on the bus, like, it is I, technically, we're supposed to say, instead of it is me. So, if there was a man, or a man came into being, or there came into being a man, go ahead.
Okay, the next word is participle?
Yes, that's a perfect passive participle, apostamenos.
One who came
or apostello, that's right, see, apostello, send apo away, just one step away, who did come
from God.
From God. All right, there was a man who was sent from God or came from God. Onoma auto Ioannes. That's an interesting way of phrasing it.
Yeah.
Onoma is
the name.
His name. Auto
to him.
A name to him of John, Ioannes. That's the genitive. Yeah. So a name to him of John, that his name was John. A name to him that they gave to him was John. All right, any questions on five? All right, was that five or six? I'm so confused. These titles at six. I was six. All right, now for seven.
John 1:7. Putros eothen eis martyrian, in a martyrete peri tu fortos, in a pantes pistelthosi diao tu.
Okay, right ahead, whoever's.
You want me to talk?
The Ruth, that's your. Yeah, whatever.
Somebody took us to
that's good, sir.
Fifth one?
All right, let me see. This is where are we? Huta. All right, this one or he?
King.
This one?
Mm-hmm.
King.
For a witness.
All right, for a witness or as a witness.
In order that he should witness.
That he should witness. You might witness.
The light.
The light. Mm-hmm.
In order that all those believing, those
all,
who believe.
Well, instead of being a participle, it's actually a indicative. See, the steps would be. Well, it looks like a future, but it's after Hina, therefore, the self so being is subjunctive. So it's Hina, so that all might believe.
All might believe.
Or could believe, or might believe. Yeah, that's tentative, that's subjunctive, I think. Through him, okay?
Through him.
All right, that's the end of seven, right?
I believe.
Any question on seven? All right, let's move on to eight.
John 1:8. Who can in Echenos, the host, al Hina Maturese, the V, to forecast?
Okay. Right ahead, is it Glenn?
Yeah.
All right. Ukein ekenos, was that it?
Yes.
Start with ekenos, that the Jesus, which is that one, or he.
He was not
okay.
The light.
Right.
But I want to say, in order that he might witness.
That's right, in order that he might witness.
So. All right. In order that he might witness through the light.
Mm-hmm. Or concerning the light, something like that, concerning the light. Yes. Well, I think in our King James Version we have he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness. That's the element. Now, let me just check and see if that's in italics for fun on that thing. Luke, John. All right, John 1 and verse 7.
Verse 8.
Okay. Yes, what's sent is in italics. That's right. Yes, in italics, what's sent? The idea, I guess, is in the word ain, the word eight, aren't we?
Yes.
He was not that light, but in order that he might bear witness concerning the light, obviously he was, or he was here, he came. That was his mission, see. That he might bear witness to the light. But that is left out. That's why they inserted it here to complete the sentence. All right, anything else on 8? All right, let's go on to 9. Ralph, you're trying to...
John 1:9. Egu tophos ta aletheron ha potisde panta antrophon e chamanon eston kosmon.
Okay, come down, Ralph. Huh?
And the true
light. Where do we start that? Ain, was it? Started with Ain?
Yes.
All right. Ain, probably he was. Probably he was. Ain.
He was the light.
Uh-huh.
The true light.
That's right.
True light.
Ha would be your neuter, wouldn't it? Neuter, relative pronoun. Ha. Which, going back to the phos. Ha. See, the light which. He was the true light which, or that.
Okay.
Fotidze, from fotidzo, to bear light, to light up. That'd be regular present tense. He was a true life.
For man or unto man?
Which, fotidze, you forgot the fotidze. True life,
true which
bears light, sheds light. Which lights, actually, which lights. Fotidze is the word to light. Fotidzo. So he was the true light which lights. See, which light. The true light which lights panta antrama.
Unto man, or for man.
Yeah, and panta is what? All. See, that's the word all, isn't it? So panta, all men, or all man, every man, if you want to say panta antrama.
Which comes,
they're coming on.
Into the world.
Into the world, okay. So here's that was the true light which lights every man coming into the world. Now, the question of interpretation a lot of people say is this, does he light every man coming into the world, or does he light coming into the world every man? See, does he, by his coming into the world, light every man, or does he light every man coming into the world? And of course, you see what I mean? You understand the distinction? I don't see any problem with what it is. It's in the order in which we have it here, that in a certain sense, because the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world of darkness and blackness and sin, he gives light to every person, every human being that comes into the world. See, not that he gives a complete light that they're all saved, but I mean, he does. Because he came, because he died for our sins.
He said, I'm the light of the world.
Yeah, I'm the light of the world. So he does light every man that comes into the world. So that, I have no problem with that. Others translate it the other way. I have a little bit different thought. Who coming into the world lighteth every man. It's just about the same, almost the same difference. If it's Christ coming into the world, lights every man. Or he lighteth every man who comes into the world. You still got Christ lighting up every man, no matter which way.
Trying to say that everybody is saved. Is that what they want?
Not necessarily. Well, see, some fear that may be the teaching of baptism, not baptism regeneration, but the fact of
Christ's universalism. See, that would be what we're taught, which is not taught there at all, just that there's some light, the light on the surface. The, things are different in this world because Christ was born, was crucified. And
like little say, the fatherhood.
Yeah, fatherhood of God, universal fatherhood and brotherhood of man, which is false. So that's the heaven man coming into the world. See how the beautiful parts that we're coming on, going right along with Anthropon, Panta, Anthropon, Archamana, coming into the world. All right, any questions further on 9? All right, let's go to 10 then.
Sean, 1:10. Entro cosmo ein, kai ha cosmos dia tu agento, kai ha cosmos auton uk eglo.
All right. I forget who's up there. Bill, okay.
Yeah.
Let's see, that's in verse 10, is it?
Right.
All right, Entro cosmo, is that where we are?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the world.
Ein.
Was.
All right, he was. In the world, he was.
Okay.
The others, he was in the world. He was,
okay.
In the world, he was. Then it thinks, see, the order of words is important. The stress on this sentence is it's stressing where he was by way of location. See, we would just say he was in the world. That's what we translate. But in the world, he was. See, because that's the stress. That's the topic. See, and the world knew him not. See, in the world, he was. That's just the emphasis of what they put first in the sentence and what they emphasize. Just like we didn't even comment. We did a little bit last year going through, but where it says, Kai Taos, Ein Hologos in verse 1. See. Beginning was the Word, the Word was God, and God was the deity. The fact that He was deity, not just an emanation, as some of these modernists and some of the Neoplatonists and the Platonists, the heretics of the early church taught, you know, that Christ was not truly God, and the Logos was not truly God. He was a created being. But here, very definitely, He says that the Logos, Christ Himself, and God was the Word, emphasizing it again by first place in the sentence, emphasizing that thought rather than just the Word was God. Okay, so where were we? That was there coming.
It was in the world.
Right, in the world.
And the world through or of him.
Yeah, through him, that's right. By means of intermediary agency.
Was made.
Mm-hmm.
And
a cosmos.
And the world. What's the verb for, what is it?
Egno, to know, from Gnosko. Egno, that's in our ear, see. What is it?
And the world did not know him?
Right, the world did not know him, all right? Good, did not know him. Any questions on 10? That's a sad situation, isn't it? In the world didn't even know. All right, so let's go on to verse 11.
John 1:11. Eis ta idir, else, kai hoi idiore, auton u parelabon.
Yep. Okay, that's it. Okay. Mm. Who's turn is Ruth?
He came to his own thing, and his own people.
All right.
Did not receive him.
Okay, very good. And that idea being neuter would be things, and probably the creation, the greater world, and idia being a masculine, probably his own people. That's very good to depict. Any questions further on 10:11? Okay, let's go to 12.
1:12. Hosoide, Elabon, Auton, Hebuken, Autois, Hectustian, Tecna Theu, Genesta, Tois Pisteusin, Eso Anima, Autu.
Okay. Let's see, that was the plan, was it?
Yeah,
all right,
I'm
there. Also, that would be as many as, from Hosos, that's sort of a relative pronoun in the plural. So that would be as many people as plural in the nominative case.
But,
yeah, right.
Okay, but as many as him received him.
Okay.
He gave to them.
Mm-hmm. Exousia.
Authority.
Authority. Right, or power, anything.
Mm-hmm. To become sons of God.
Okay, to become sons or children of God. All right, that's good. And twice bestowed, see.
To those believing in his name.
Okay, very good. the power to become the Son of God to those, even to those who believe on it. And the tekmah plural of God twice, therefore, to those who believe, the sons and those who believe together. Any questions on 12 or comments? All right, let's go on then to 13.
John 1:13. Hoi huk ex haimathon, ude ek thelematos sarkos, ude ek thelematos andros, al ek theru agenethesan.
Okay, I see that's rough, is it? All right.
Let's see. Which?
Okay.
Who, which, mm-hmm. Which were not born out?
All right, not ex. Right now, the hoi refers back to those choice pistos and to those believing. The hoi, going back to the hoi, those who believe, that is who. Now, the verb in the sentence is last. There's an egenethesan. See, the 14 is the very last word in it. Who were born. See, hoi, egenethesan. The ones who were born. They had a birth. And then the others, that's qualifying how they were not born. See, but they were, the birth is right there. Who were born. Go ahead. Ukex haimaton. And haima is blood. See, like hematology.
Okay. Which were not born out of blood.
Okay. And the blood is plural, but the blood, that's the plural of majesty, plural of excellency, plural of something or other. We usually say blood rather than bloods, as our own English idiom. Greek says bloods, we say blood. Not out of blood, or from blood. Ude, neither.
Neither.
Mm-hmm.
Neither out of.
Remember what thelema was from thelema? The will, that's
will,
right.
The will of flesh.
Of flesh. Uh-huh, will
the
of
will
the flesh.
Of flesh. Nor or not.
All right, nor or neither nor yet.
Not of the will of God.
No, this is the andros, which would be
will
like on air. On air would
will
be.
Of man.
Man, that's
will
right.
Man, but this, out of God.
That's right, but out of God or from God, which were born. Not from blood or the will of the flesh or the will of a male, but of God, born of God. See, that's the source of our birth. And this andros is definitely male as opposed to gune, which is the female. Aner is the male, masculine, whereas the anthropos, it could be male, many times it is versus female, but it could be just human beings, humanity as such, rather than the sexual distinction. But here, it's not from the source as the male being the active role. Any questions for number 13? That's kind of an involved sentence, isn't it? Which were born, egenethesan.
So this statement here, using on air, would indicate he had no human father.
That's right. Of course, if this were speaking of Christ, of course, this was speaking now of anyone who believes.
Okay.
Which really means the same thing, though, and that's right. So we have no human father spiritually. See, we're born of God. God is our father in the spiritual realm, see, not of the human father. No human father can make us born again, see, only God the Father. That's a good point. Good point. Any other comments on 13? Okay, let's move on to 14, please. See which one who's turned Bill? Okay.
John 1:14. Kai ho logos sarkta genito. Kai eskimusten en hemin. Kai efe aspamathon ten doxon autu. Doxon hos monogenus para potras. Playdates caritos kai alexeas.
We give you a nice short one, Bill.
Okay. And the word became flesh.
Okay.
And
that's a wonderful thing that incarnation is. Word became flesh. And as skin is a tabernacle or a tent, so He made a tent among us. He tabernacled among us. He dwelled just very briefly among us in a very brief little tent. That's scandalous.
Okay. And then when he get in and dwell, is that?
That's the dwell, yeah. The dwelling sort of like made a tent. See, a very flimsy dwelling. Now, he didn't build a brick house, but he had a tent. So he just temporarily was among us. And he left and went back to glory. Okay?
And what is it for?
Theal mind, right. And we beheld to Theal mind. That's the verb to see. We saw, we beheld.
We beheld the glory.
All right.
Of his glory.
The glory of him or his glory. And that's Samatha. Yes, that's a good one. That's Samatha. That's heirs, first heirs to Theaomai. Theaomai. And he dwelled among us as first heirs of Skenao. Skenao. Okay, go ahead. And we beheld, came Doxan also, and his glory. Then Doxan, the glory, Os Monoganus.
I know it's a participle, isn't it?
As the Monoganus. No, that's Monoganao. See, that is an actual noun. See, the Monos is only, and Genos is begotten or born, the only begotten, see. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful word that these modern translators don't like to use in their New English Bibles and New American Standards and New International Version. They translate this only as only, see, the only of the Father. Oh, you've got to get an only there. Just like in John 3:16, God so loved the world, gave his only Son, his unique Son, his only begotten, see, his monogenistic.
Literally, it says only one born.
That's right, only one born, that's right. Only one born, see, from Genao.
Okay.
And the only begotten or born,
God.
That's right.
From the Father.
From the Father. Now you see, that's the strange thing. All right, but that's the only begotten, the only born from the Father, or of the Father. Go ahead.
That's where it stopped.
Oh.
Well,
I think I won't find the Pleiades.
Come on, Bill.
Stop the road.
We were trying.
Stop something. Well, it's one of your roots. But I'm for classes.
Okay. Yeah, it almost, it would be a convenient place to stop. We want you to take a little longer verse there, though. You know, so Pleiades, that would be from Plato, which would be full. The plenary congress, you know, plenary inspiration, play is that word for plenary. See,
full of grace.
Full of grace, charitas.
And truth.
And truth, that's wonderful. Full of grace and truth. You know, it's good to have that mixture. He was gracious, but he had truth. The backbone is truth, and the grace is the calm, sweet disposition. You have to have both grace and truth. Some people only are gracious, some people only truthful, but they have the blend. They've got to be both. All right, what's the next one? Any questions on that? That was 14, wasn't it? All right, 50. Who is it, Bill? No. It is the. Excuse me, it has to be an honor to teach.
Psalm 115. Ioannes Martorei Periau Tu, Kai Kekrage Legon, Kutos Amin Hon Apon, Ho Atiso Mu, Erhonos, and Prosper Mu, Gegonen.
Okay, 15, Ruth.
John witness concerning him, mm-hmm. And had. Cried.
Yes, it had cried out. That's right. It has cried out.
Cried, singing. This is.
This one, or he
was.
Was.
This and, was the one
mm-hmm.
of whom I said. Is that right?
That's right.
The one after me.
The one after
coming.
Me. The one who's coming after me.
The one who's coming after me. It must be before.
That's right. Emperor sent us before me.
Mm-hmm. Has become before me?
It has come before me. Has really come into being before me. That's right. He was really, 6 months after, in point of time of his incarnation, Lord Jesus, then John, but he has come before him because he was always in eternity past, the eternal preexistence of the Son of God, Lord Jesus. Tremendous truth there.
Is that what it's speaking of? has come before me, it would be referring to his eternal existence.
I think so. The only other way, because obviously in physical it wasn't, because Elizabeth 3 months pregnant or six months, I believe, when the announcement was made. So 6 months difference, isn't it? So I think that's the eternal preexistence. He has come into being before me. And of course, that doctrine has been kicked around a lot in the early church, and finally was settled, I think, at the 325 Council of Nicaea, and other councils as well, Council of Chalcedon, I believe, and various other things. All right, that's 15. All right, ready for 16 then? Let's see, that would be Glenn.
Yes.
All right, let's
finish. How can both of us move in, John?
Oh, that was on that same verse, Ruth. What was that? Yeah, go ahead. He is one before me. He has come. He has come before me. Who coming?
First.
He who is coming after me, before me, has come into being. And haughty, in this case, it's because. This haughty is instead of that, it's because.
Because he was before me?
Because he was before me, protostomo. Okay? Because he was before me. And there again, in the eternal preexistence. All right, now, we go back.
Verse 16. Kai ectu kerhomatos, autu hemes, antes elabomen, kai charin anti karatos.
Okay. What is that? Ectu kleromatos, from kleroma, which is
the fullness.
Fullness, right? And ectu.
And from his fullness.
That's right. Amos, we?
We all.
From Lambano.
I can't.
Lambano, heiress of Lambano to receive. This is heiress of the.
All right. We received.
Uh-huh.
We all received.
Right.
Both grace.
Or just and grace, either one. Both grace or and grace. Anti fatatos. Instead of grace or for grace, upon grace. So grace upon grace, grace for grace.
What would that mean? Grace?
What's the word karatos?
It'd be grace. Yeah, that's grace. See, karen and karatos is a genitive. See, karen is a nominative and karatos is a genitive. See, karatos.
Grace, grace
instead of grace? Grace and anti means instead of, but also going to mean upon, building up. See, build grace upon grace, more grace, upon grace, upon. See, let's take a look at anti and ordina mani, just for curiosity. This is a special meaning. And that would be in our prepositional directory there. First one, find it, tell us all the page, so we'll know. All alphabetical there. I got the particle, was it? What is it?
99.
Okay, 99. Okay, 99. Thank you. 99. All right. Auntie, face to face is the literal root meaning. Where's my time?
Grace, face to face with grace.
Yes.
Would be a possibility.
Yeah. That's the conclusive proof of that. I mean, auntie, proof was instead of, paragraph 107, instead of something. Exchange for means exchange for, either that or exchange, in exchange for grace. Grace in exchange for grace. Others, one, we've exhausted one element of grace, in exchange for that, he gives us more grace. Grace in exchange for grace. And so we continue to build up in God's grace. It's like that to him that we sang some of the solos, that he gives us more grace.
I'm surprised I didn't notice a reference in that text on Ante to this verse.
Was that in it?
No, I was looking. I glanced through and I did.
No, it's probably not an exhaustive reference. I'm just a little kind of a brief one. Probably Robertson's larger grammar would give it a reference, but it's grace upon grace, grace instead of grace, grace in exchange for grace. It's almost when you breathe out, there's more oxygen to breathe in. So that would be exchanging your oxygen for the carbon monoxide, or breathing out carbon monoxide and then increase. Now, if you breathe out your oxygen and there was no more to breathe in, you'd be in bad shape. So you with God's grace today. It's grace. Instead of grace, you get more grace to kick you up in the next of the rung of the ladder that you need.
It seems to be the sense of an inexhaustible supply.
Yeah, that's right, John. That's right, an inexhaustible supply of grace. Wonderful, powerful, mighty grace of God. What can beat that, huh? Anything else on that? Any other question? And notice also, class, that hemeis is right there. We see, you don't need that, but there it is. And it's emphasizing the fact that it's that we received, including John and all the other believers, I guess, with him, and that except in the blood. And we received. But the very presence of a pronoun in Greek means that it's emphatic, it's not really necessary. You've got elaboman, which is we received, right? So the hemeis. Some emphasis, some little thing. We don't know all the depths of it, but that's something to look for when we're going to exegesis in depth. See, we're just sort of hitting the high spots. We need to get the second year Greek of sort of rapid Greek reading and get us a feel of it, a taste for it, and then maybe we have other questions we get into a little later too. All right, any other questions on that? That was 16, you wanted?
Yes.
All right, let's go for 17.
John 1:17. Hoti honomos, dia mos theos, adopte, he charis, kai he aletheia, dia Jesu Christu, agenito.
Okay. Now that hoti is sort of like because or for, rather than that thing.
For the law.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Moses sent from Didomi to give, see? So that would be was given, Didomi.
Was given by Moses.
Right.
But the grace and the truth from Jesus Christ was sent.
All right, was never came into being. Again, I thought it came into being. All right, grace and truth came or became into being through Jesus Christ or by Jesus Christ. Okay? Any other questions on 17 or comments? All right, let's go on 18.
John 1:18. Theron, udates, heoraka, tempate, ha monogenes, huias, ha on aston, copon to patros, ek kenos, ex egetato.
All right, see who was that now? That's Bill? Okay.
Who they set?
No one.
No one. Yeah. No one.
See, hate me and him is one, and u is u. See, u hate, but the d and the delta in there just sort of separate the two. Not even one. No one. See, who they?
No one was. Unless what the verb is.
Let's see. Where are we? 18.
Yeah.
Okay. That okay. One, of course, to Horaka is from Horao, to see. And Heoraka is the perfect of see, Horao. The Heoraka, that is the augment, see, Heoraka. So, third person singular.
No one sees God?
No one has seen God, topote. Ever or at any time. See, ever at any time. No man, no one, not even one, has seen God at any time. All right? Monogenes, just. That monos is only, and genos is to be born.
Only begotten, okay, that's
only begotten, right. Only born.
The only begotten son.
And then this is the article of, that is the one, ha, on, aston, corpus, and see, that's the ha, monogenates, ha. Ha, ha, two articles, and the sense of it is the only begotten son, that is the one, on, aston, corpus, the one being in, up on the bosom
of the new
of the Father. Canus. That one, that last one, the former one. Ex egesta. That's a good one. Agao, mago, ex ago. Ago means to
lead out.
Lead out. Yeah. That's the very same word we get the word ex of Jesus. Greek ex egao, to lead out the meaning, to bring out the meaning. See, actually, it's beautiful. And the Lord Jesus had completely let him forth and exegeted him and let him in full view and full purpose, his intent. No one could have known the Father except the Son had come in the form of man and told all about him. Now, it's interesting, too, that here again, homologanes, we are, see, only begotten. Now, when you say the only Son, like in John 3:16, that's in these new versions do it, see. And I differ with them on it. And I got a hot letter from one man the other day, I don't know whether you remember that one, Rich or not, but a man said, how dare you, because in the Bible for the news report, I mentioned that this is not only, but it's only begotten. And this was a failure, one of whatever one I've analyzed, a new international version, or some of these new versions on John. And I said, oh, the latest meaning of this means unique, you see. Only one of its kind. And they try to say genos here is the kind, you know, like a similar genos, the only kind, only one of its kind, therefore unique. But you can't get that out of genos. Genos was born. There's a birth, see. Mm-hmm. And this the only Son, no, it's the only begotten. There is a sense in which the Lord Jesus Christ is the begotten Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. And this is mentioned here, it's mentioned in other places. And in John 3:16, when you come into that one, it would ill behoove us to change it to something else, just to announce it. But this is the theological controversy now. And they've even quoted some new Greek man, I don't know whether it's in this New Testament dictionary of New Testament words, you know, that one that's a big 8-volume, 9-volume over there. I can't even think of the author of it offhand. Kittle, I think his name is. Not the one that's the Kittle of the Hebrew Bible, but another Kittle. I think that's one of the ones listed in there. But I go for the old one.
The basic word, the root word, verb here is born.
Born, that's right. Birth, that's right. That's exactly right. So the only born, see, in the sense of begotten, and the sense in which God the Father begot the Son. Now, that's an all eternity passage, the only begotten of the Father. And he's always been the Son of God. He's the eternal Sonship. But there's a filial relationship, see? Yes. Otherwise, he could not be the Father, and he could not be the Son, unless there was some form of begetting in that sense of John the Baptist.
That God has seen fit to communicate to us.
Right.
He uses the,
so we can understand
the figure of birth.
Right. Even though it doesn't mean that he had a beginning at any particular time, but it's that,
yes,
it's that act of always being the eternal Son.
But the same root word for birth would be used of physical
that's
birth,
right. That's right.
Of a child being
that's
born.
Right. In fact, that very word in verse 13, agenetheson, that's from genao, see, that's the genao, the very word for birth, which we're born, you see. Here's your birth word.
Mm-hmm.
And down in monogenesis, it's the same birth word again, see. One is physical, well, which we're born, that's not physical either, it's a spiritual birth, isn't it?
Yes.
But it could be physical.
But it's so specific and intense that it would seem it cannot mean anything else.
Right.
That birth.
That's right. There's no way in the world. And how you get this one-of-a-kind business out of genos. I realize genos, in a sense, you know, you think of a kind. Genos, a created kind. But like a gene or genus, you know, like a genus in a species. But not with genao, not with this word here for birth. I mean, all the way through, you see that born. But anyway, any other thoughts on 18 before moving to 19? Yes, Ralph.
I'll have to excuse myself.
Oh,
Ralph,
yes.
That'd be okay.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, appreciate you coming, Ralph. Yes,
well,
please come again. We miss you very much. Missed you very much. We hope you're
there. Meet you, too.
Did you pass your test for us?
I'm only here 10 days.
You're here 10 days.
But I just want to say, you know,
So
I got a trip to go on tomorrow. I got to get ready for it.
Right, well, go ahead and go and come back anytime.
Thank
you. In fact, all the time, as far as
okay.
I can.
See you again.
Yeah, good to see you, Ralph.
Okay.
More questions. Thank you.
Thanks.
Let's see, that was 19. Okay, let's see, which turn would that be?
It was 18.
Finish 18.
Okay, whose turn is it now? Is it Bill? Oh, it's Ruth, okay.
John 1:19. Kai hote esten hematoria tu Ioannu. Hote apestelan hoi iodaioi ex Jerusalemon kereis kai levitas hina erotesoten auton sutis eg. John 1.
Okay, that's a long one.
And this is the witness of John.
Mm-hmm. And how they, because hematuria is feminine, so how they be feminine? This witness, see, this is the witness of John, okay?
The witness of John.
Hote, this is the temporal. Where is it from? When, see, when, the
okay,
temporal.
When,
instead of hote, it's hote.
Okay.
When?
When the Jews sent.
The Jews sent. The Jews from Jerusalem.
From Jerusalem, priests and Levites.
Levites,
In order to question him, mm-hmm, who are you? And he he confessed.
Maybe that's the end. I don't know. I think that may be the end of the verse. I think that may be.
Right.
I think that's the end. Right? Any questions on 19? Comments? All right.
120. Kai homologisa. Kai uk er lepato. Kai homologisen hati uk emi ego ha Christos. John 1:21.
Okay. Go ahead there, Rob. Glenn.
All right.
By homologao, that's to confess. To say that homos is the same, and logao is to say to say the same thing about God that you say, to agree with him or to confess. Homologao. And this, of course, would be your aorist, augment on home.
All right.
Like you
said. And he confessed.
Mm-hmm. Arnao is to deny. That's right.
Okay, he denied rather than
denied. Ook. Don't we have an ook there? This is your aorist.
Okay.
Arnao. Isn't it ook? Arnao.
Yeah.
Okay. He confessed an ook. Arnao. This is your aorist.
What would that mean?
He confessed and denied not. He did not deny. So he confessed.
What's the root word there?
Arnao.
Okay.
That's the word to deny. And the air now, that's the augment, that'd be the aorist. See, that's how we get the aorist.
All right. He confessed and did not deny.
Right. And then it was repeated again. Homo logisen.
And he confessed that. I am not the Christ.
I am not the Christ, or just ego ha Christos?
I am not Christ.
No, there's where's the not, though? I'm trying to see the not.
Oak.
I went beyond the not. Okay.
All right.
I can see the not. Thank you. I am not the Christ. Good. I am not the Lord Christ.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is that the end of that verse?
That's the end of
20. Yeah, I guess that's 10:20. Okay.
I am not the Christ.
He confessed that I am not the Christ. I am not the Christ, all right? And that was John the Baptist with him. All right,
yes.
Any other questions on 20? We're going to 21. All right, 21.
Kai erotisan auton tiun elias estu kai lege ukemi ha prophetes estu kai apokrite u. Eton un auto tis a.
Okay.
Apocryphon domen tois pimpstatin hemas.
No?
Telegates 3:2. John 1.
Okay, we got it.
Who's
it in? That Bill?
Mine, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. Look back where we started here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And. Is that the. What's that?
That's the.
Thomas,
where are we here? Kai erote from Erotawa. And he answered. Erotawa, he asked, I guess. Erotawa was asked for a question.
He asked him.
Actually, they asked him. See, erotesan would be third person plural. And they asked him.
They asked him.
What? And un is what then or what therefore? See, what then? Yeah, what now? What then? What therefore?
Elias.
Ace to you. Are you? Are you Elias? Okay. Art thou Elias?
And you, or he?
I like it.
He has.
And he says.
But he says, okay. I am not.
I am not.
The prophets.
Singular. Prophetes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The prophet.
Now this A is from the verb to be. A, me, A, H. S-D, remember that? S-men, S-de, A-S-D. This is the second person plural of A-me, to be, the verb to be. Are you, or art thou?
Okay.
The prophet, are you? Are you the prophet? Go ahead.
And he answered?
Mm-hmm. He gave answer? No. From Apokrinomai?
And he answered no?
All right, he answered no.
Mm-hmm. He said...
Or they said, the apon.
Okay.
Yeah, their third plural part. They said, therefore, un auto.
To, then to him.
Mm-hmm.
Who is?
Who art thou? See, who a? Who are you then?
Oh, okay. See,
who a? Who art thou? Okay, any questions on 21? I think that's where 22 starts, isn't it?
Yes, I believe.
23.
Right.
F.A. Ego, phone.
Wait a minute.
Oh, goodness.
We keep it going, don't we?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ralph. I'm sorry. Not Ralph, but Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And Apocrys, then.
I'm trying to think that.
Apocrynomite, to respond or to accuse. Apocrynomite, to answer. So that we might, Domen, from Didomi, that we might give answer. Apocrysis.
You might give answer.
Mm-hmm. A reply. Tois pemsas sen hemas. Participle from pempo to send. This pemsas says have the aorist participle. Ones who have sent us, or who sent us. You may give answer to those who sent us.
Mm-hmm.
All right, is that all right? And one more phrase, and we're all set. Tilleges peris thou too.
What say concerning
what do you say? What does thou say?
Concerning or about yourself?
Yourself too. Okay. Any questions on 22? Is that 22?
Finished 22.
Yeah, finished. Okay. Let's go with 23 then. That would be rude.
Bondos ente eremo.
Wait a minute. Oh, I see.
23.
There we go.
Efe ego phone bontos ente eremo. El thunate te hodon curiu. Kathos apen esaias a prophetes.
Okay. Rue?
I don't know what Efe is. What is
that? That's from Femi, to say, to speak. So Efe is he said.
Oh, all
right. Femi.
He said, I am a voice. I've got to be crying, but I don't recognize what
the word is. Boontos is a participle, and it's from the word boao. 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 Like a cow.
Oh.
See? A goose, a boos is a cow, I think. So it's one crying. Oh, that's like a boving. Yes. Boving.
Uh-huh. Crying in the wilderness. That must be.
That's probably an onomatopoetic word, where it sounds like it says, all right? Crying in the wilderness, all right?
It must be make straight.
That's right,
the road of the Lord.
Make straight the
just
way.
Just as Isaiah the prophet said.
Mm-hmm. That's the end, right? Okay. Any other questions on 23 or comments? All right, 24.
John 1:24. Kai hoi apestal minoi eithan ekton farisaion. John
1.
Okay.
Well, okay, and
that's from Apostello.
Or they were sent.
All right, kai hoi apostel menoi. This would be your perfect, or your aorist.
No, they had been sent.
All right, that's right.
From the Pharisees.
All right, now, and those who had been sent, or those who were sent, Asan.
Okay. Those who had been sent,
mm-hmm.
They were from the Pharisees.
That's right. Okay. Now, is that the end of that verse? Mm-hmm. It isn't. Okay. Let's see who's next. Now, mm-hmm. Bill. All right. We got all snaked around here. All right.
25. Kai erotisan auton, kai epon auto, tiun baptizes, esu uk e hokrestos, uta elios, uta hoprophetes.
Is that it? Yeah, I must
yes.
Say right. Okay. Okay, Bill.
Okay. And answered, and see, and they answered
him. They answered him, right?
And they said to him.
Mm-hmm. This T is now becomes instead of what or who becomes why. See,
okay.
T can also be why. In this case, be why.
Why then do you baptize?
Why then do you baptize? Aren't thou baptizing?
If
see if you're not
Christos.
If you are not the Christ or
that's
something.
Right, if you're not the Christ or if you're not Christ, ute could be neither or nor yet.
Neither Elias,
mm-hmm.
Neither the prophets.
Neither the prophets sing it, see.
Prophetess.
Oh, prophetess. Okay. That's the end of that verse, isn't it?
Yes.
Got another question? Go ahead.
Baptizes, that's the participle form of baptizo?
No, baptizes would be your...
The last half of this tape I neglected to put on the record mode. I had to record, but I had it on pause. In the actual class, this first class, the first session, the second year Greek class. So I will try to sum up what we went over from verse 25, John 1:25, till 1:30, and then the Dana and Maddie portion that we took up as well. Glenn Hunt had asked, what about T baptizes? Is baptizes the participial form? And I said, no, that's a second person singular. T un baptizes. Why dost thou baptize if thou art not the Christ, neither Elias nor the prophet? All right, now we will go on to verse 26.
On 1:26. Apekrithe autois ho Ioannes legon, ego baptizo en hudati, mesos de himon hesteken hons humes uk oidate.
John 1:26 says, and he answered, or he made answer, apekrithe, which is the passive, aorist passive, to them, autois, the John, that is John, made answer to them, saying, I am baptizing, baptizo, in water, or by means of water, but among you there stands Hesteke, which Hestegen, which of course would be the aorist from Histemi, Hestegen, Hon, one whom thou dost not know, thou knowest not. You do not know him. And this is verse 26. All right, let's go on to John 1:27.
John 1:27. Autos estin ho opisol mu ekonomos hos emprosten mu gegonen hu ego uk emi axios hina lutho autu ton himanta tu hupodematos.
Verse 27 says, autos he, or the same one, is the one opisol mu, the one coming after me, erchomenos, the one coming after me, hos who before me, emprosten mu, gegonen, came into being, was in existence. The pre-existence of the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned here very clearly again. U ego uk emi axias, and I, of whom, who, this is who, of whom, I am not worthy, axios, in order that luso, that I might loose, or untie out to his the latchet, the laces, ton himanta to hupodematos, of his shoelaces, the shoe latchet of his shoes, of his sandals. And so this is verse 27. Now, let's go on to John 1:28.
John 1:28. Tauta en betabara egenito peran tu yardanu.
All right, this verse here, John 1:28, is tauta these things in Bethabara, in Bethabara, which is a location, a place, a city, took place, agenita. These things, all these things, neuter, as plural, takes a singular verb, took place, or came into being, or came to pass, peran, on the other side, beyond, of the Jordan, beyond Jordan, in Perea, the other place beyond to the east of Jordan River. Hapu, where John, Ioannes, was ein baptizon, was baptizing. Here it's the imperfect of eimi, to be, he was, and then baptizon, the participle. It's a sort of a periphrastic past tense, was baptizing, instead of just the simple imperfect, which is many times used. All right, now let's take a look at John 1:29.
John 1:29.
Se epaurion lepe haioanes ton Iesun ercomenon pros auton, kai lege ide ha amnos tu theu, ha aeron ten hamartian tu kosmo.
All right, this is a very important verse, John 1:29. And it says, Te epaurion, and on the morrow, and on the next day, blepe, he sees, that is, John sees Jesus coming to him and says, Ide, look, behold, ha'amnos tu theu, the Lamb of God, who takes away, who lifts away the sin of the world. John 1:29. All right, let's take John 1:30, the final verse of the evening.
John 1:30. Χωτός εστί φορί χου εγώ εμπον οπίστο μου ερχεται ανέρ χως εμπρόσθεν μου γεγονέ χωτι πρωτός μου εί.
All right, this is John 1:30, the last verse of the evening that we took up last night. It is concerning whom I said, verse 30, after me there comes a man who was before me, who came into being before me, because he was first than me. That's what it says literally, because he was before me, superior in every way, qualitatively, as well as just in point of time, he was higher than John the Baptist. And so this is the end. We had a little discussion, of course, on these verses, but I'm sorry that I neglected to continue the tape. I put it on pause by mistake. It was recording, but it was recording on pause. So now, let's go to Dana and Maddie just to give a brief summary of what we went over last evening, although certainly by no means in the detail with which we took it up. The assignment was Dana and Maddie, page 59 through 68. And 59, we're talking about syntax. This is the beginning of syntax. And we mentioned that this was the difference between accidents and syntax. We'd been studying accidents, which are the bones of the grammar, just the regular different meanings and different forms, I should say, is the accidents. But syntax is something else. Syntax is different. Accidents deals with the structural forms of words. Syntax deals with the grammatical relations between the words. Accidents deals with the facts which result from incidental development, while syntax deals with the rational principles of thought expression. Accidents differs with every different dialect. Syntax is largely the same for all human speech. In other words, how we think, how we put our words together. This is the area of syntax. Then paragraph 73, nothing is more important in the study of syntax than securing an adequate idea of its scope and nature. Then paragraph 74, syntax is the process of analyzing and classifying the modes of expression presented by a language. It does not govern language, it deals with the facts of language as they are found. You go to the language, you find out how they do things, and then you see what the syntax is. The seat of authority in the language is the people who use the language. I caution, however, because we have some very bad language, very poor grammar, and if that all of a sudden becomes what English is, we're in trouble. They certainly must have rules and should follow them. Then this is on page 60. Paragraph 75, what is language? It's the means by which thought is communicated from one mind to another. Language may be defined as the expression of thought by means of speech sounds. Communication between one another. It could be speech sounds, could be written or spoken or sign language. Any of these three ways, written language, spoken language, or sign language, to communicate our thoughts to some other person. Language signifies certain instrumentalities whereby men consciously and with intention represent their thought to the end chiefly of making it known to other men. It's the expression for the sake of communication, not for the sake of showing off, not for the sake of impressing someone, as some of us pray sometimes just to impress the Lord. But essentially, language is a system of symbols which represent thought. Now, on the bottom of page 60, paragraph 76, syntax deals essentially with the forms which thought may take in the process of expression. So we discover that grammar and psychology are twin sciences, because how you say something depends on your state of mind, how you feel. And so this is why psychology, which deals with the mind and the thinking, is also akin to grammar. Now, page 61 at the top, the various modes of thought. Syntax deals with Thought is the action of the mind upon the phenomenon of environment or experience. We have a phenomenon. It represents itself in consciousness. Perception takes account of its occurrence, and judgment defines and relates it. So you have an object that occurs in the line of your vision. Perception says it's a fact of consciousness. Judgment, through faculties of memory and imagination and reason, defines it, says this is what it is. And so this is the complete idea, is the starting point of a sentence, the complete idea of perception and judgment. And we observe that the thought created in consciousness is expressed with a group of words. For instance, the sentence, the tree is green. That's a sentence. It expresses a complete thought. The tree designates a certain object. Then an assertion is made about that object is green. The first element is the subject. Second is the predicate. The tree is green. Or this is the tree is. Tree is your subject. Is your verb. And so the basic elements are subject and verb, or noun and verb, in every sentence. And thus we conclude that the sentence lies at the foundation of syntax, and its essential parts are the noun and the verb, and so those are the essential fundamental elements in syntax. And of course, if we look at our table of contents of Dana and Maddie, we will see that this is exactly how he deals with syntax. Page 14, or rather 15, Roman numeral 15, the noun is dealt with, and then the verb, and then finally the clauses, which combines different sentences in various contexts and connections. The noun is something that designates a fact of consciousness. It designates. The verb, paragraph 78, is a vocal sound by which one makes an assertion relative to a fact of consciousness. So the noun has a contextual relationship. And sometimes you're talking about the relations with other parts of the sentences. And so that's the other parts of the sentence. That's a case, the case of a noun. Or you may want to be something that is a functional relationship, has a functional relationship to the noun and its context more vivid than the cases. There you'd have prepositions. Or in the third place, you may have something that would qualify the noun. That would be an adjective. Or you may want to avoid monotony. Therefore, you don't want to repeat the noun. John went downtown to get John's hat, and John went back because John was sorry. You can say John went up because he went to get his hat, and these are pronouns. The fifth thing, the noun could be particular or known, and therefore you have the article. So nouns deal with cases, prepositions, adjectives, pronouns, and the article. This is, of course, what we'll take up under the noun. Then the verb, the subject is varied depending on whether it's the speaker is one spoken to, or the ones spoken about, therefore person, first, second, or third person. It could be singular or plural, therefore number. A noun could have, depending on the action, whether the one performs it or is receiving the action, therefore voice, active, middle, or passive voice. It could be reflecting the speaker's attitude, therefore it could be mood. And then five, it could reflect time, therefore it could be regarding sense. Or the verb also could make an assertion about something else, jewelry thing, therefore infinitive or participle. This is on top of page 74, or 64 rather. Number seven, it could be an assertion that would give qualification, therefore it could be an adverb. It could show a connection between one word and another. It could be a conjunction. And then nine, it could be, again, something expressed in the speaker's mind or attitude with a particle. And so the variations of verb has to do with person, number, voice, mood, tense, infinitive, participle, adverb, conjunction, and particle. Those 10 concepts. Now division 1, the noun, the different cases, first of all, page 65, paragraph 79. In the Indo-European tongue, there are at least 8 cases, and there are 8 cases in Greek. The first intimation of the fact was in Sanskrit. We turn back to the page 1 of our text, which had to do with the Indo-European languages. And page 2, we saw that Greek was one of the Indo-European languages. On page 2 and 3, the different branches of these languages, which we reviewed last year in the first year of Greek, as we briefly went through the first 58 pages of Dana and Maddie. And so many comparative investigations show that apparently it is an 8-case system, although especially you must think that case has to do with function rather than form if you want to get 8 cases. Now, number one, you can have a function as a subject, and that would be a nominative case. Number two, you can have somebody addressing someone else. That's the vocative case. You can have number three showing relation to some other thing in the sentence. That's a genitive case. Or you can have in the fourth place a point of departure, a removal, a derivation, a separation, or it's the ablative case. Number five, you could have something in regard to interest or reference, that could be the dative case. Number six, have something indicating position of an object, that's the locative case. And seven, you could have the means of an expression of thought or the method, and that would be the instrumental case. Number eight, you could have something that limited an assertion, that would be the accusative case. So these eight functions really designate eight cases. And page 67, we see the four inflectional forms, the different cases, and then the root ideas. The first inflectional form is nominative and vocative. Nominative has the idea of designation. Vocative, the idea of root idea of address. The second form is genitive and ablative. Genitive is definition. Ablative is separation from something. Then the third form, inflectional form, is the dative, locative, and instrumental. Dative deals with interest. Locative deals with position. Instrumental deals with means. And the fourth form is the accusative. That's something regarding limitation. So these are the four inflectional forms, but eight different cases because of eight different functions. Robertson is quoted, A.T. Robertson, at the bottom of page 67, and he believes very strongly that these eight-case system is the most important one. Moulton is not positive in regard to eight cases. There's a debate about it, but we'll take this up next time on page 68, the nominative case. And I'm sorry that we had to condense this. This is only about, looks like about 15 minutes. It took actually about 40 minutes, I think, to go into this, maybe at least 30 minutes. So we've left off about 15 or 20 minutes. But this does give you a brief condensation of what we discussed in Dana and Maddie from pages 59 to 68, 59 to 68. And we'll take up Dana and Maddie next week. It'll be pages 68 through 77. Paragraphs 83 through 89, up to point 3. And, of course, our assignment for John, the Gospel of John, will be reading John 1:31 through 2:9. This will be for the Thursday night and September the 30th on Thursday night. All right, we closed in a word of prayer, and we asked the Lord to help us, and this was by Bill Adams, and we closed at about 9:45, maybe a little bit after 9:50 possibly, because we started a little bit late because of a telephone call. All right, this is Dr. D.A. Waite, the teacher of the class, signing off and saying that we will see you again on the next tape if you're getting these tape series.